911 emergency, what are you reporting?
You're listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch.
Everybody, welcome back to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch. Because you know what? If we're speaking dispatch, we're speaking it right to y'all out there. You should all be listening in on this thing saying, my God, that's the best podcast ever. And if you're watching us, that's the best YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram thing ever too. So it's all of those things at once. So today we have two special guests. We'll talk about those in just a second here. But we are joined by our regular crew out there. We've got Leslie down there. Leslie, what's going on in your world?
Well, let's see. Today I went and watched Polo and stopped some divots and had some champagne. And that's, you know, just what we do here.
So you're a little bit tipsy today. That's going to be great. Oh, my gosh. And we got John over there. John, how goes it in your world?
It is great.
You're almost in the same world as Leslie. So, 70, you know.
Indeed. Just a little bit north, and it's only 75.
Oh, clear skies
here. It is
beautiful.
Look at you sitting outside enjoying the Florida weather. That is awesome. All right, and Jill, how goes Jill in the kitchen? How goes that?
I'm doing well. It's Sunday, so it's a meal prep day, so I'm getting everything ready for the week.
Yes, we did that meal prep episode. I don't think we're going to do that again. Where we left Joe out in the snow for an hour. That was not good.
We have spaghetti squash and sweet potatoes in the oven, so we're gearing up for a healthy week, I guess.
I don't want any part of that. Anyway, so, and our special guest we have over there, we've got Laurel. Laurel, tell us a little bit about yourself and your world over there. What's going on?
So I'm Laurel Simmermeyer, the assistant director of the Indiana Statewide 911 Board. I've been with the board now for over 12 years, almost 13 years. Prior to that, I was a 911 dispatcher director for a rural county in Decatur County, Indiana, for 20 years.
Wow.
And
wow.
That's extensive. That's a lot of experience you got right there. That's good. All right.
Yeah.
And up in the corner up there, Vicki, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Vicki Blumke. I work for InDigital, Indiana Service Manager for them. Prior to that, which was like eight years almost, I was a 911 dispatcher and then director at a rural county, Carroll County, Indiana, for 20 years. So almost 30 years in the business.
Okay. And we got you both on here today because you're both from Indiana. You both work together and you both are able to provide training for dispatchers across the state of Indiana, which is unusual to say the best. And it's like, it's just great that you guys can provide this kind of training out there. And how does you work with that? How do you get that to happen with something like that? Either one of you.
So Indiana is fortunate in the fact that we have put back money to provide continuing education for dispatchers within the state. And we're very fortunate that we partnered with InDigital, who provides us our one of the ESI nets that delivers all of the 911 calls. They deliver all of the wireless calls in the state of Indiana. So Vicki and I work hand in hand. We're co-workers, even though we work for different agencies. But InDigital sponsors all of the lunches when we do our training.
Which is quite good. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Doug said he's never seen that before. So we are very lucky. Yeah. We are very blessed here in Indiana.
So many places. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So you talked about dispatcher. One of the things I know we get a lot of folks wondering, a lot of folks from primary and secondary PSAPs tune in. So is the dispatchers from both sides allowed to attend the training, or is it only primary PSAP individuals?
No, any dispatcher within the state.
Oh, okay. Wow. And it doesn't have to be a specific locality. It could be state police, county, city, township. Correct. If they wear the headset, they're eligible.
Exactly.
Sweet. Yes. Wow, that's fortunate because a lot of states sometimes cater just to primary PSAPs. Right. And secondary are allowed, but it's a little bit more paperwork. Whereas here, it seems like it's bring your headset and bring yourself and come on to class.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. We're all doing the same job.
Yeah. It is funny, though, because some places, and I know we talked about this when I was in Indiana, some places, even though it's free training and open and all this stuff, they still don't send people. It's like, I don't understand that philosophy, but I mean, I know people are short. I got it. Who isn't? I mean, we were short for years, and it's like, you still have to get training, because you would never tell a pilot, well, sorry, we can't certify you again, but keep flying. It's like, that would never happen. You wouldn't do a doctor like that. And it's like, but people are comfortable saying, eh, we're not going to send people to training. And it just, it's crazy out there. So it's a big thing.
You mentioned certify. So we're in Indiana. Are dispatchers required to be certified by the state in some capacity and maintain certification through a minimum number of continuing education hours?
So we just had our minimum training standard statute passed. I don't remember if it was last year or the year before. Vicky, do you remember?
I think it was last year.
Yeah. So by the end of this year, they have to be minimally trained per the statute. And then after that, they have to have 24 hours of continuing education each year. But as far as being certified, that is not a requirement.
Each year. Leslie, go ahead. I see you put your hand up. So go ahead, Leslie.
Well, I'm curious, because we do have a lot of people that listen who are thinking, oh my gosh, you know, how did that come to be? So how did Indiana, how long has this been part of the 911 landscape there? And how, you know, what was that process to get this line item in your budget that required this level of training for all of the employees that work in your state?
So in 2012, the statute changed, the 911 statute that we operate under. So we went from being just the wireless board to the statewide 911 board, where we were collecting landline fees and wireless fees.
So
there was a breakdown of making the wireless board the statewide 911 board, and there was funding left in the wireless fund. And we decided to put that back for training.
Wow. Did you get any pushback on that from people saying, you know, we give them enough money, we don't need more training? Or, I mean, I know other states are going through this going, we can't get nobody to go to training, or can't get funding for training, let alone sending everybody and their mama to training. So do you ever get pushback from the people that are approving these things? No. Wow.
We have not.
I wouldn't think so. So I'm curious too, because you both mentioned that you're from more rural 911 centers. And I know Indiana's got some fairly large county agencies as well as some, you know, urban areas. How is the training that is provided vetted so it's relevant to everybody who's sitting in the room? Or is it just the responsibility of the student to go and say, okay, I'm going to be here and I'm going to take back what I can to my own agency? Or do you try to, you know, say, okay, well, this training is really geared more toward smaller agencies, so, you know, Indianapolis Police Department, maybe not so much, or vice versa? Has that been an issue?
No. So Vicky and I are fortunate enough to be able to travel to the national conferences as well as other state conferences. And we get to hear a lot of speakers. We've brought in several different companies throughout the years. And then COVID hit, so we had to take some time off. But, you know, Vicky and I feel that if coming from the seat at one point in our careers, that if it's a good speaker with a good point that somebody could take something home with them, then we get in contact with them and see if they can provide anything that would be useful for us.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And that we feel like, super cool. Yeah. We feel like any of the training that we are bringing them will apply, whether you're a big center or a little center. Mm-hmm. We try to keep it something that's across the board. Like we wouldn't bring in a speaker that's going to talk about a big metropolitan airport incident. Like that wouldn't apply to
majority
of our folks.
So that's what we look for. Something that's across the board going to affect everybody at some time.
So how did InDigital get connected up with this training? Cause you guys seem to be very connected. Do they do that all over the country? I mean, I haven't heard about this kind of a combination. I mean, I haven't heard
about it. InDigital works really close with the 911 board. And Laura can explain more specifics about, you know, what it is that we have to do. But we've always worked very closely with them throughout the state of Indiana. We supply the text to 911 and the backup 911 phones for every PSAP in our state. So that all affects, you know, that's hand in hand with the state 911 board. And we decided that by working hand in hand, Indigital is able to help by sponsoring the lunches, you know, and just being a face that they can relate to as well. Because we're in every PSAP. Laurel's in every PSAP, we're in every PSAP. So we just...
So throughout the entire state of Indiana, it's everybody uses Indigital.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. That's something. Jeez. That's interesting. Okay.
Yes. So Indigital provides the net. We have a dual ESI net. And Indigital, prior to the dual ESI net, Indigital was the sole ESI net. Along with that, they provide the backup phones. They're called Mevo. They also provide text to and from 911. I think there might be a couple other states, Vicky, am I right, that provide to and from 911?
Yeah.
They also do language line for us, the translation company.
Is it language line? Is that who it is?
Language line is who we use, yes.
That's who we use in California.
So when you say ESINET, because I know there are some people, you know, we've been talking about next generation 911 now for the last 15 years.
Right.
And I think there's still maybe a disconnect. So, you know, just a real quick, easy, you know, can you tell us what is the ESINET? And for those states that they hear it talked about at meetings, how is it going to benefit them, or how does it benefit the 911 process in the state of Indiana?
Technology is not my thing, Leslie.
Okay, sorry.
It's just the lines of the 911 calls.
I know that it's the 911 there, right?
Okay, so Doug, edit this part out.
Yes, please do, Doug.
There'll be some editing going on here.
Yeah, well, because I you know, you hear a lot of people talking about, you know, and I totally get technology is not my thing either. Okay. And so when you hear about ESINET and next generation 911 and all this other stuff, I think a lot of line level dispatchers get freaked out because what is it? How does it work?
Yeah.
Maybe not, you know, the nuts and bolts of it, but how is it going to impact what I do? And, you know, I think one of the downfalls maybe of this profession is everybody wants to do it their own way. So everybody's got a different definition of what it is. And it would be great to go, okay, here it is. You know, this is the line level that you need to know about. So yeah, totally get it.
Well, that's why we had that guy that you got, Leslie, to talk about technical stuff on one of our other podcasts.
Oh yeah. Right.
I mean, he was talking about stuff that, I mean, I've been in the business a long time like you have, and I didn't know some of these things he's talking about. I'm like, yikes.
Yeah.
I mean, push to talk, that works.
Yeah.
That's right. When I push the button, it works.
Yeah. When it doesn't work, you got problems out there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and I know that Nina and APCO too, probably are working with the government. They've got government advisory boards and things like that, talking about bringing ESINET to be the standard across the country so that everybody will have that. But we know, you know, we're talking about Indiana and training, that y'all are light years ahead of, I won't mention another state, but some other states where, you know, they don't even have any minimum requirements.
Yeah.
And we all know just how quickly this job evolves, even just within 6 months to a year.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty amazing.
Well, I know when I'm traveling around the country, I'll mention that, like, oh, hey, it was just in Indiana and they do the whole state training thing. And people are like, how do they do that? I'm like, call Vicky and Laurel and ask them. I don't know. I said, but it's happening. That means it's capable and it can happen to where you are. You just have to figure out how to do it. I don't know. It's like,
the feedback is great. Yeah.
I mean,
we get great feedback from, you know, and they appreciate that it's free. And, you know, we schedule 3 sessions per year. You know, Doug, you were there.
Yep. Yeah.
We do the north, the central, and the south so that it's access for everybody to be able to get there. We do the same class 3 days in a row. So day one, two, and three, you can send different people if you live in that area. So we try really hard to make it easy for them to send.
And people. we did the last class was a late class, so we could do it in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So the people that work graveyard don't have to sit there and struggle through the morning going, where the hell am I? So it's nice to have that kind of a thing out there. And the food, I mean, I've been to a lot of conferences where they will provide lunch, they say. And it's like some kind of weird thing. And you're like, oh God, what's this? I mean,
you don't do Subway.
Yeah, you guys were full on. I'm like, okay, so we're going to make everybody sleepy. So here we go. Eat up. You know, one thing I wanted to touch on before we get out of here is, Laurel, during our classes, one of my things I talk about a lot of is mentorships. How important it is to either be a mentor or have a mentor and kind of know the power of those darn things out there. And it's like, I know that you guys have some sort of program in place to help people if they want a mentor. Tell us a little bit about that.
So we have directors in the state of Indiana who are seasoned and have a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge.
Seasoned. Okay.
But we also have a lot of directors who are new and very green and don't know a lot about how to be a director.
Yeah.
So we reached out to the seasoned directors and asked them if they would be interested in mentoring any of the newer dispatchers or the directors. And we have a list of people who offer their services, you know, for anybody who would like assistance.
I think just that's totally guidance. Cool. Wow. I mean, it's just, to me, it's like a... go ahead, Jill.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I love the idea. I think it's so often you get people who promote into positions and don't know what they're doing. And you've got people who don't want to help them. And now you actually have a lifeline that can say, here's what you do. Here's how to do it. Here's how we do it. Maybe it'll work there. Or bringing new ideas into a center that's been stale for decades is probably part of this mentorship program.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I think it's such a powerful thing that I've never heard of a place promoting that. Like, hey, we've got this available to y'all if you want it. And it's like, it's such a big thing. I talk about it every class. I talk about this mentorship stuff. And it just, to me, it's like amazing that sometimes people don't take that opportunity sitting right in front of them. They just kind of like, I don't need that. I'm going to do something else. And it's like, you don't realize the power behind those
things.
That's
the reason is they think that they can do it their own way without guidance.
Yeah.
And so it's really, really special when someone reaches out to you and says, you know, can you pair me up with a mentor? And we always try to pair them up with someone in the same size of the agency so that they kind of get a taste of what they're getting into or how to fix something they've already gotten into and they could fix it themselves.
Wow. Yeah. That's such a big thing out there.
It's important for people to know that mentorships are to help, not to say that you need help. You're just going to somebody who's more seasoned and more experienced to get new ideas. And I don't think it should be ever looked at as a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's you're wanting new ideas. You're wanting to learn new things. And I love it. I think it's great that you guys do so many great things in Indiana.
I know a lot of times Leslie's referred to as seasoned, but I'm not sure what that's about. So,
tenured, not salty.
Tenured. Okay, that's a better
word. Well, let me just ask you, hey, Vicky, how did you get into InDigital when you were working at a rural comm center? Well, how did that transition? What did you like? Did you meet somebody from InDigital?
So that's a perfect segue. So when I became director, we got our new 911 answering system in, and guess who it was? It was InDigital. So one of the trainers, Lori Ford Beckman, I'm sure some of you know her, was the one training us, and we just hit it off and we clicked and we became great friends. And every day, you know, at work, I'd have my Skype up and she'd hit me up. And, you know, as I was struggling to find my way, because she was a previous director, I was at the border county, which is also rural. I would say, oh my gosh, I don't know about this. What should I do? What should I do? Or I'd call after a council meeting bawling. And so she was my mentor for many years. And so when I decided to leave the county, she says, why don't you get a hold of InDigital? And I'm like, oh, seriously? I'm a dispatcher. I can't work for a company like that. And so I did. And a week later, I was one of their employees. And I've loved it ever since.
That's so cool. And Leslie just put this thing down here. I did not know that the N and in digital means Indiana. Well, correct. How is that? I mean,
it's capitalized.
It's all over the place, right? I mean, it's not just in Indiana.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. Alabama is another really, really big in digital state.
Is it Al Digital then down there?
No, it's in digital. Oh, yeah. Florida is growing by leaps and bounds. We've got East Coast. We're everywhere.
Wow.
We can hardly keep up. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Great.
And Laurel, how
do you
feed
them good?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You give them good food.
Yeah. Laurel, how'd you get to be a statewide person when you came from a rural thing like that? Did you have pictures of somebody doing something wrong or what?
Okay. And digital might have had a little bit to do with this, but back in 2006, the first executive director of the statewide 911 board, his name was Barry Ritter, and he was the 911 director in Wayne County, which is also in mid part of Indiana. And so we all had another telephone provider for our 911 service, but we were having a lot of issues. And so Barry was smart enough to get a consortium of, there were the whole southeastern part of Indiana had the option to go, and we were going to have in digital build our network to bring in our 911 calls so we could get away from our other 911 service provider. Well, in getting to work with Barry on this project, you know, we got to be really good friends, and he knew that I had an accounting degree and I just wasn't happy doing that, but I was smart enough to do it. And we had a lot in common. So when we finished the project with the consortium and in digital took care of us and provided our network, Barry left Wayne County and took the job as the executive director of the wireless board. Well, then statute changed in 2012, and Barry and I had kept in contact. He had me come into the state house to testify at hearings. This was when we were getting ready to raise the fee, and knowing that if the statute was passed, that we would become the statewide 911 board. And Barry was a one-man office. Okay. He said, if we get this bill passed, he said, would you be interested in coming to work for me? Because you have an accounting degree, we will be collecting all of this money from all of these telephone providers every year. You have 911 service, you know that you're knowledgeable in everything. And so we were in the state house the last night of legislation. It got to be 11 o'clock at night, and we're still back and forth with all the stakeholders getting this statute to pass. And I said to Barry, if this bill passes or not, I still have to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning. He said, you go, I will call you and let you know how this turns out. I got home and I had just gotten ready for bed, and he called me and he said, it passed. He said, get ready to come to work. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. Yeah.
Wow. So, and then you quit your other place and said, I'm out of here.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Wow. That's totally cool. Well, it's nice to hear how people kind of make these transitions, because a lot of people say, oh, I can't ever do anything like that. Well, hell yes, you can. I mean, look at Laurel got a degree in accounting, which really helps in dispatch.
Yeah. I was much happier in dispatch.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to be an accountant, but there you go. Anyway, well, we definitely appreciate you two joining us today to talk a little bit about what you guys do and how Indiana is rocking the house, getting all this training out there for dispatchers, which is so good. And we learned a little lesson from Leslie that the IN and in digital is Indiana. That's so cool. I did not know that. I'll be quizzing people on it, so you know I will. So that's a good thing. So we definitely appreciate you guys coming by and doing this kind of stuff. If you want to be a guest like they are, please let us know. Send us an email. email, direct message, whatever, and we'll put you into one of these boxes down here. Something to do out there. And we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and every podcast platform you could think of. Last stats I heard was 26,000 podcast plays in 46 countries, which is awesome. And we just got our updates on Facebook. We got over 100 and some odd new followers on Facebook because I was at that conference pushing out like crazy. So
thank you for
following us out there and doing that. Thank you, Leslie and Joe, or Leslie, John, Jill, Vicky, and Laurel. Thank you guys very much for coming by. Go out and make it a great day because you know we always do.